KJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. In high school volleyball play last night, not much action. Creston defeated Southwest Valley 3-1, the only area matchup on the slate from last night around the region. Also, the weekly high school football polls came out on yesterday, Monday. In the Associated Press football poll for this week, it's West Des Moines Dowling top-rated in 4A with West Des Moines Valley, Ankeny, Southeast Polk, and Cedar Falls the top five. In Class 3A, Dallas Center Grimes is number one with Cedar Rapids Xavier and Sergeant Bluff Luton 2-3. Harlan and Lewis Central are tied for fourth in this week's poll. In Class 2A, PCM, Williamsburg, Clear Lake, West Lyon, and Solon, along with Waukon, are tied for the fifth spot this week. Those are the top five. In Class 1A, OABCIG, South Central Calhoun, Dyke, New Hartford, Van Meter, and West Branch are the top five. Underwood is at number six, Panorama at number nine. In Class A, it's Grundy Center, St. Ansgar, Iowa City, Regina, Edgewood, Colesburg, and South Winneshiek, the top five rated teams. And in eight-player, it's Gilbertville Don Bosco on top with Audubon. And at number two, Cam is at number three in this week's poll. Remsen St. Mary's is four, and Fremont Mills checks in at number five in this week's poll in the AP poll. The Radio Iowa poll, just a few differences. West Des Moines Valley's top-ranked in Class 4A with Ankeny, Dowling Catholic, Southeast Polk, and Cedar Falls, top five. In the Radio Iowa poll in 3A, it's Dallas Center Grimes on top, Harlan number two, Xavier Cedar Rapids number three, Lewis Central is four, and West Delaware five. In 2A, PCM, Williamsburg, Clear Lake, West Lyon, Solon, the top five. In Class 1A, it's OABCIG, South Central Calhoun, Dyke, New Hartford, West Branch, and Van Meter in the top five, with Underwood at number seven and Trainer at number nine. In Class A, Grundy Center, St. Ansgar, Iowa City, Regina, Edgewood, Colesburg, and Wapsie Valley are the top five. St. Albert is at number 10. And the eight-player poll, Don Bosco number one, Remsen St. Mary's number two, Audubon at number three, Montezuma number four, Fremont Mills is in at number five, and Cam checks in at number seven in the Radio Iowa poll this week. Well, the Atlantic football team will travel to face the Kemper Catholic Knights this Friday night. We'll have coverage for you here on KJAN and KJAN-TV. Both teams will be searching for their first win after dropping their Week 1 contest. Join Chris Parks and Mike Smith for the call on AM 1220, FM 101.1, online at KJAN.com. And you can watch the game with us. KJAN-TV will have that for you as well. We'll start the night with our Pick'em show, Who's Going to Win, at 6 o'clock. Pre-game is at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. You can also hear our regular weekly chat with Atlantic head coach Mike McDermott. Trojan preview is Friday afternoon at 4:45. Iowa State will allow 25,000 fans at the Cyclone season opener against Louisiana on September 12th. ISU Athletic Director Jamie Pollard says there will be no tailgating allowed and fans will be required to wear face coverings.
And what better opportunity for our fans to shine? We do a great job in showing how good we are at bowl games. We did a great job with game day. We do a great job with game attendance. Let's show the country that Ames, Iowa, and Iowa State Cyclone fans can nail this.
The stadium will be mapped out to allow for social distancing, and Pollard says if fans don't follow the protocols, the October 4th game against Oklahoma could be played without fans.
Do your part, and let's see if we can make this happen. And if we can make it happen, it could be an incredible success story. And if it can't, if it just ends up being, you know, for whatever reason, lack of compliance or our mitigation strategies just don't work, okay, then we got to pull the plug. And but I'll know we tried.
The 25,000 fans is under 50% capacity in Jack Trice Stadium, and Pollard says it was based on season ticket sales.
I mean, if 5,000 more people opt out because they don't like their seats or they're not comfortable with our mitigation, then our number will be 20,000. You know, we have no intention to go back and resell other tickets. The number will kind of be what it is, and, you know, we'll see how it goes on the 12th.
Pollard says the fans will need to do their part.
We don't need fans showing up thinking they're going to tailgate despite the fact we said not to tailgate. That will not be well received. It'll be policed, but it will also probably damage our ability to have any fans for the Oklahoma game. Fans will be required to wear a mask. If people don't wear masks, we won't be having fans for the Oklahoma game.
Pollard anticipates around 5,000 students to be in the stadium. A new court filing shows that Big Ten presidents voted 11-3 to postpone the football season until spring. The court filing is the Big Ten's response to a lawsuit brought by a group of Nebraska football players who want the fall season reinstated. The Big Ten announced August 11th it would move its football season from fall to spring because of health risks associated with the coronavirus pandemic. The filing did not identify how each school specifically voted, but a person familiar with the outcome told the Associated Press that Iowa, Nebraska, and Ohio State voted against postponing the fall football season. The University of Iowa Athletics Department announced Monday it'll be pausing workouts for all athletic teams until after Labor Day. Dr. Andrew Peterson, UI professor and head team physician, said due to the recent increase in the cases in the community, we've made the decision to pause voluntary and mandatory workouts until after Labor Day. He said we remain confident in our overall process, including testing, contact tracing, and daily health screening. The department conducted 815 COVID-19 tests for the week of August 24th through the 30th. 93 positive tests and 722 negative tests were received. As part of the return to campus protocol, testing began May 29th, and student athletes, coaches, and staff are all tested. A total of 176 positive tests, 2,560 negative tests, and one inconclusive test have been received. Following the positive test result, protocol established by the UI athletics and medical staff, including the contact tracing procedures, is being followed to ensure the safety of all UI athletics, student athletes, and staff. The Iowa State Athletics Department announced Monday that guard Tyler Harris, who averaged nearly 10 points and connected on 138 three-pointers in two seasons at Memphis, has been granted a waiver by the NCAA, making him immediately eligible to compete during the 2020-21 season. That waiver was granted to Harris after considering the circumstances surrounding his transfer from Memphis to Iowa State. Head coach Steve Prohm said they're really excited for Tyler and his family that his waiver was approved. He'll bring experience to the team, and we look forward to having him out on the court with us this season. A native of Memphis, Harris played 67 collegiate games while making 15 career starts. He's reached double figures 35 times, posting a career-high 25 points in a win against Charleston as a freshman. Harris shot over 33% behind the arc and over 84% at the free throw line. Jimmy Butler scored a playoff career-high 40 points as the Miami Heat clamped down defensively in the final three quarters, beating the Milwaukee Bucks 115-104 in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference semifinal series last night. Victor Hedman scored with 5:50 left in the second overtime to give the Tampa Bay Lightning a 3-2 victory over the Boston Bruins in their fourth berth in the NHL's Eastern Conference Finals in six seasons with that win on Monday night. In baseball, Paul DeJong hit his first career Grand Slam, helping Dakota Hudson to his first win of the season as the St. Louis Cardinals held off the Cincinnati Reds 7-5 in a game heard here on KJAN. Hudson finished with a season-high 7 strikeouts and no walks. The Cardinals won their second straight after dropping 4 in a row. The Reds have lost 3 of 4 after winning 3 straight. We'll have game 2 of that series tonight for you here on the radio. 4:45 late this afternoon is the pregame start time. 5:40. Will be the first pitch in that contest as the Cards and the Reds tangle again this evening. Also around the league, Michael Franco and Bubba Starling had RBI singles in the eighth inning as the Kansas City Royals rallied to beat the Cleveland Indians 2-1 in the first game of a three-game series. That was the Royals' first win this season when trailing after seven innings. Scott Barlow picked up the win in relief for Kansas City. Elsewhere around the league, the Marlins beat the Mets 5-3, Orioles 4-3 over the Blue Jays, the Mariners beat the Angels 2-1, Phillies over the Nationals 8-6, the Rays beat the Yankees 5-3, Braves over the Red Sox 6-3, the Brewers topped the Pirates 6-5, White Sox beat the Twins 8-5, and the Padres 6-0 over the Rockies. The San Diego Padres have acquired Mike Clevinger in a multiplayer trade with the Cleveland Indians, bolstering their rotation with another bold move ahead of baseball's trade deadline. San Diego got Clevinger, outfielder Greg Allen, and a player to be named for Cleveland for a package of young players that included outfielder Josh Naylor, right-hander Cal Quantrill, and catcher Austin Hedges. Also, just before the trade deadline, the Oakland Athletics acquired Mike Minor in a trade with the Texas Rangers to add another piece to their rotation. Toronto acquired left-hander Robbie Ray in a trade with the Arizona Diamondbacks, giving the Blue Jays a former All-Star who struggled so far in 2020. Philadelphia Phillies acquired right-hander David Phelps from the Milwaukee Brewers. San Francisco Giants acquired left-hander Anthony Banda from the Tampa Bay Rays. The Chicago Cubs acquired veteran outfielder Cameron Maben and two left-handed relievers in three trades, as they picked up Andrew Chafin from Arizona and Josh Osich from Boston. Also, the LA Dodgers traded right-hander Ross Stripling to the Toronto Blue Jays for two players to be named. The New York Mets acquired infielder Todd Frazier and catcher Robinson Chirinos from the Texas Rangers. And the Colorado Rockies acquired some outfield depth, acquiring Kevin Pillar from Boston in a trade deadline deal. The NFL Players Association president, J.C. Treader, is pushing for daily COVID-19 testing during the regular season. The NFL has been conducting daily testing for players throughout training camp and plans to do so through Saturday. Treader, the starting center for the Cleveland Browns, posted on the union website, "We will continue to rely on scientific data to inform our approach for combating the virus. As the science evolves, we will evolve with it." The league has reported few positive cases in the past month, though it did have 77 false positives a week ago that resulted from contamination at the testing lab. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.